This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Well, we're pleased to welcome longtime Raiders CEO, CBS Sports football analyst and podcast host, What the Football with Susie Schuster. Amy Trask is one of our favorite guests, and it's been too long, Amy. So thinking about the trade deadline, some of the moves that were made, from your time in a front office, how much activity actually plays out behind the scenes as this deadline approaches?
It depends. You know, there are years where any given team is more involved, eyeing more possibilities, open to more possibilities than other years. I really think it depends on where the team is. And there's a lot of considerations that go into a trade. Where are you from a cap standpoint? What impact will a trade have on you from a cap standpoint? Where are you from a cash standpoint? Are you looking to move a player who has a big contract you may not wish to hold on to for cash reasons, but is the team to which you're trading it looking for you to handle some of that cash? And there's roster building. There's just a lot of factors that go into whether or not you make a trade.
We've had a bunch of high quality wide receivers change teams. Amari Cooper, of course, to Buffalo, the Chiefs getting DeAndre Hopkins. And it's obviously a challenge in the middle of a season. Why do you think these guys fit in so well, even though they're changing teams, changing systems, changing quarterbacks, all of that?
Well, I think it can depend on the player. And again, I'm not looking to equivocate, but you're talking about receivers, the men you just named, that are very, very, very skilled at their position. And you can bring them along if you are a team, if you are a coach, as quickly as you wish, or you can bring them along a little bit more slowly, depending on the player. We're going to focus on these routes. We're going to ask you to make these plays. You may not expose them to the entire playbook immediately, although, you know, you mentioned the Chiefs, and Andy Reid is just such a spectacular coach, and of course Patrick Mahomes, a phenomenal quarterback. They get together with a new receiver at practice, or they stay after practice. They run routes. It's a position where you can adapt pretty darn quickly.
The Chiefs have won 14 games in a row. If you go back to last season, it's a franchise record for them, one of the longest in NFL history, which is interesting. And yet they're not blowing teams out, Amy. They very rarely win by more than even one score. What does that say to you?
I push back on those who say, well, you know, they're really not playing as well as they were. Look, a win is a win is a win is a win. And every team that plays the Chiefs is going after the Chiefs. They are coming off not one, but multiple Super Bowls over the last few years, and people have them in their sights. Do they look like the Chiefs we saw at the end of last season? No, they don't. But that doesn't matter. They're finding ways to win. Someone told me something very early in my career in the National Football League. Good teams find a way to win. And that's what they're doing. They're finding ways to win. And I tell you this, if you're a fan of a team that is finding ways to win, that is far more important than a team that looks, wow, they look really good, and don't win. You know, Patrick Mahomes is a quarterback you can turn to on the sideline and say, just find a way to win this game. And maybe it's not going to be a thing of beauty, but you know what's a thing of beauty? The W.
Yeah, no doubt about that. In that division, the AFC West, it's kind of interesting. For a few years now, it's been the Chiefs and everybody else has got losing records. We've got two teams in the Broncos and the Chargers that are both sitting at 5 wins and at the very least could offer a challenge as they start to play each other. What have you seen with the Chargers and Jim Harbaugh as their new head coach?
Well, boy, you're absolutely right to focus on both of those teams, of course, and I'll start with the Chargers. I didn't look at the numbers after this last week of games, but going into this weekend, the Chargers were giving up the fewest points of any team. Going into week 9, they were giving up on average only 13 points per game. That's Jim Harbaugh. That is what Jim is bringing to that team, among other things. I'm a big, big, big fan of Jim Harbaugh as a coach and as a person in many, many respects. I don't mean to suggest just as a coach. He was with us in Oakland. I thoroughly enjoyed working with him while we were together in Oakland. Al Davis had tremendous respect and appreciation for Jim. And actually, there's a fun little aside there. When Jim came to Al and said, "Look, I have an opportunity to go coach in college. And, you know, I love that you gave me a chance and I love being here, but I really want to go pursue this dream." And Al was very, very, very supportive of that. And then Jim throws in, you know, it's kind of like when you were in the NFL and then you went back to coach in college. And Al said, "I went to USC. You're going to USD." It was just a funny, funny moment where Al teased him a bit. But look, I think the world of Jim as a head coach, not simply on the defensive side of the ball, but I do credit him with what the Chargers are doing defensively. But he also did something I think is so, so smart. He added Mark Trestman to their staff. I don't know Mark's official title. He's not their offensive coordinator, but he is in every offensive meeting room. And Mark does what the best coaches do. He best positions players to be their best. We had him with us in Oakland as well. I think you're going to see Justin Herbert continue to shine and shine and shine. And I credit Mark Trestman with a tremendous amount of that. And of course, credit Jim for bringing Mark in. We had Mark in Oakland. I know his offensive mind. He really is a coaching savant.
Longtime Raiders CEO Amy Trask, now with CBS Sports as an analyst and also podcast host, What the Football with Susie Schuster. It's a great listen. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So, Amy, while we're talking about the West, of course, your team, the Raiders, they right now share the worst record in football, though there's a bunch of teams that are sitting there at 2-7. What stands out with the team?
Well, they've obviously just made, and by the way, I'm sorry, I skipped over the Broncos. I got so excited about the Chargers that if you want me to go back to the Broncos, I will. But as to the Raiders, they obviously just made a fairly sweeping change, terminated three. I always like how I say terminated. Fired would be the word I'm actually looking for. I'm trying to be a little more genteel, but they let go three coaches after their last game. They're heading into their bye. They've added Norv Turner to the staff. Norv was with the Raiders when I was there. His son is with the Raiders. And look, Norv will do what dads do. He's going to want to help his son be the best he can be. So that might help the Raiders a bit. They've got some holes on the roster, but there are a lot of issues there. And my heart is with Raider fans because I will always and forever want the very, very, very best for them.
Tom Brady is a winner. We know that. Can't imagine he'd want to be associated with a franchise if he didn't believe in it, right? Not just for the sake of being a minority owner. How much impact can a minority owner have on a team, Amy?
As much impact as the controlling owner wishes for that minority owner to have. Every team in the league is required by league rule to have one controlling owner, meaning you can be a limited partnership, you can be an LLC, you can be a corporation, whatever ownership structure you want, but there must be one designated controlling owner who has to own a certain percentage of that team. And in the case of the Raiders, that is the Davis family. That is Mark Davis as the controlling owner voice. He can give Tom as much say-so as he wishes to give Tom. And let me make something really clear, Amy. People think, oh, Amy, meaning me, Amy, not you, Amy, do you have an issue with Tom Brady? And the answer is no, no, no. Tom Brady did in that game, and we know what game I'm talking about, he did in that game what every fan of every team wants their quarterback to do. He did nothing wrong. We can have a different conversation about the officials, but that's not the point. I have no issue whatsoever with Tom, and I hope for Raider fans that Tom does help bring out the best in the franchise.
I had a chance to listen to your most recent podcast episode, again, What the Football with Susie Schuster. It's really interesting because I heard your conversation about Dennis Allen and about the Saints making a change in season. And I know it would vary from team to team. We've already seen a couple now get removed, like Robert Saleh. What type of factors are considered when that change is a possibility, when you're talking about removing a head coach in season?
That's a hard thing to do. It's a hard decision to come to. And look, I worked for an NFL team owner who let quite a few coaches go at varying times. You've got to have a feel for what's going on in the locker room. You know, are people still responding to the coach? Are players still responding to the coach? Are other coaches still responding to the coach? Many owners take into account the fan base. When you're losing games at home, like we saw the Saints losing, and you're the owner of a team and you're listening to your fans booing and doing all sorts of things, there are team owners who factor that in as well. If you just think, we have to make a change and I can't wait any longer, you do it mid-season. But the other thing that does for your team is you're able to maybe start looking around a little bit before other teams. You can't tamper. There's restrictions on what you can do in terms of other currently employed coaches, but it gives you a little bit of a head start on figuring out what you want to do the next season. I don't think that's why most people do it, but that is an issue.
Does the strategy work to make a change mid-season?
I don't think there is a general answer to that. I really do think it depends. I don't think there's one solid answer to that question. Look, the question I have always asked in football and otherwise, in business and otherwise, is, and do what? You know, there were times that our fans were yelling to me, Amy, you need to get rid of the quarterback, or you need to cut this player. And I would say, and do what? And the same applies to terminating, firing a head coach. And do what? If you are going to make a change, ask yourself, and do what? And if your answer isn't at a minimum as good as the status quo, or presumably better than the status quo, then you need to think about why you're making that change.
Always appreciate the insight of Amy Trask when she's with us here after hours with Amy Lawrence. Well, you kind of set me up for another question I wanted to ask. I was hearing the comments of Cleveland Browns general manager Andrew Berry, who really at this point either doesn't have an answer or isn't revealing his answer about Deshaun Watson and what happens moving forward. So let's say they ask you for your insight. Where do you even begin?
Well, that's a great question, fellow Amy. Where do you even begin? Because you have the issue of the injury. How long will it take for him to heal? How well will he heal? What kind of a player will he be when he comes back from the injury? You have a contract that is just sitting on your shoulders. It's just the weight of that contract. They're in quite a pickle, so to speak. They have to factor in cap consequences, cash consequences, what they want to do with their football team. There's just a lot of factors going into that, and that contract is going to weigh heavily.
You mentioned the fan base. Obviously, the Cleveland fans are so involved with their team. It's an emotional relationship, and they've been through so much. I don't know whether or not that ownership considers the fan base, but I'm thinking about the fans and the locker room and how much of a downer and a weight it can be on them, too, just feeling like an entire season's been flushed.
Well, you're absolutely right. I do feel very, very strongly that you do have to take your fans into account, because you can't have it both ways. You can't want the support of your fans but not care about your fans. Now, of course, that doesn't mean you're letting your fans make roster decisions. You're not letting your fans make coaching decisions. You're not letting your fans call plays. I'm not suggesting that. But I do think some owners factor in fan reaction. Clearly, they didn't factor in fan reaction in signing him, and now they have that contract sitting around weighing them down.
two teams that have very passionate fan bases who've been starved for winners over the past 10, 15 years. In the case of the Lions, even longer, the Commanders and the Lions, and both sitting on 7 wins right now in the NFC. I feel like these two would be great sentimental favorites should they reach the playoffs and put together a run. You'll have a lot of fans from other fan bases start to jump on board with them. They're in varying stages of their kind of rebuild, if you will. But what do you see, or what do you spot? What stands out about the culture that these two teams are building?
You know, you just hit that one slow and easy right across the plate, to use the baseball reference, because Jared Goff is an alum of my college. We're both alum of Cal Berkeley. So Nice. Special love for Jared Goff. And I don't think the Rams handled moving on from him in a great way. And you know what? To the Rams' credit, they acknowledged that and said, we didn't handle it well, and they've apologized. So they've all moved on. You're exactly right. This is just very, very, very exciting for two fan bases that have been longing for this for a long time. The Commanders are an entirely different team now than they were several years ago. They seem to have just really done spectacularly well with their rookie quarterback selection. And, you know, I talked about Terry McLaurin on CBS Sports the other day. We had to identify a player who should be on cloud nine or feel really good. And I think his numbers, his statistics are phenomenal, but I think he should also feel really good about the fact that he is helping a rookie quarterback develop and being part of that development for the whole franchise. So Commanders fans should be extremely happy. And Lions fans, my gosh, let me tell you, obviously the team with which I was affiliated wasn't in the NFC North. It wasn't in the NFC at all. We were an AFC team, but we did go to Green Bay a few times during my years with the Raiders, and that is a hard, hard place to go in and win. And watching the Lions, they're very impressive. And you know, remember when Dan Campbell was hired and everybody was just giving him so much crap about the comment about biting kneecaps? Well, you know what? Bite them kneecaps, because he is really proving himself to be a heck of a coach.
It's amazing how one man, and he's hired great people around him, of course the front office is part of it too, but he really has set a tone and created an identity for that team, and they've all bought in. It's so clear to see his role in their culture building.
You are absolutely right, and that's why I say, you know what, and this is something I believe firmly, I feel very passionately about this. I hate, this is me. You've got me on now. So when I used an adjective instead of an adverb, I have to stop and correct myself. Might in that regard be your weirdest guess, but that's okay. But I am really and truly very passionate about this. First impressions aren't always right. Remember the kneecap moment, and remember Yes. Everyone's first impression, and remember the just opprobrium he got for the kneecap comment. You know what? Don't always rely on first impressions.
Kneecaps notwithstanding, he is so much about relationships and so much about building those relationships that then leads to the type of chemistry that can help you become a winning team. I mean, the guy gets emotional in his locker room after big wins. He's so proud of his team for going out there and performing the way that they do. He's all in with them, which is awesome. I love that. As part of a recent video that my show did, you know, which coach in the NFL would you most like to play for? But I was also asked a question, Aim, about some people in the sports world that are not athletes that I'd like to have dinner with around a dinner table. And by now, you know that I name dropped you because I love all of your stories. And of course, our personalities, weird recognizes weird. So we're good there.
I love that.
But wondering, to flip that around, and maybe this is not fair, but what about you? Who are a few people in the football world that you think it would be so much fun to sit down and have dinner with?
It's a great question, but it's one I would like to give some thought, and I will promise to come back on with you at some point and give you my answer if you would like. But remember, you are talking to the girl here who went to law school. So, you know, Your Honor, I would like to take that under submission. Objection calls for a hypothetical. I'd like to file my pleading later. First of all, I was so honored and so touched and so just giddy that you named me, and I do want to have dinner with you.
Yes.
But then I want to answer your question at some other point, because there's just a lot of good answers. But
Yes. You'd
be one of them.
Oh, thank you.
We would have so much fun. We'd just be our weird little selves.
Yes, Team Amy. We seem to have more and more things in common the more we talk about it.
All yes, right,
so
we do.
Sneak, a little bit of a sneak preview, if you will. Who's a guest you have coming up for your podcast soon?
I don't know the answer to that right now. We're going to still work on it. We like to see how the week develops. I'll tell you what, though. When I know, when we decide, and when that information is available, I'm going to give you a scoop.
Team Amy Scoop. The podcast is called What the Football with Susie Schuster. It will make you laugh. It will make you think. It's terrific. So definitely check it out. You get the side of Amy Trask that I envisioned used to be in the front office with the Raiders. Longtime CEO. She's got the book, You Negotiate Like a Girl, at Amy Trask online. It is always so good to have you on the show. And yes, I look forward to our scoop. Thanks, Amy.
Well, number one, it is absolutely my honor and pleasure, and so much fun to join you. I am a fan of your work. I am a fan of yours.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.